This morning on Wake Up with Hope, Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 joins us to share a morning devotional. We'll have a dedicated prayer session
and a talk on the death that changed the course of the world. Don't go anywhere. Good morning, friends, and thank you for waking up with Hope. You know, we're excited to be here with you. Tell us, how did you wake up this morning? How has your week been so far? Well, send us a message on our Wake Up with Hope Facebook page and tell us how you woke up this morning and how it has impacted your life. We would love to hear from you.
Well, friends, today is Autism Awareness Day. As of 2023, the CDC statistics reveal that 1 in 36 children in the U.S. have been diagnosed with autism, and an estimated 5.4 million adults in America live with this disorder. According to the organization Autism Speaks, autism or autism spectrum disorder, ASD, refers to a broad range of conditions characterized by challenges with social skills, repetitive behaviors, speech, and nonverbal communication.
You know, an Autism Awareness Day seeks to raise awareness and education about autism, while also advocating for the rights of those who are affected.
That's true, and we are here to encourage you and remind anyone who has autism that God says in Psalm 139, "You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are special. You are unique. And even in the womb, God knew you and He loves you."
Amen. And we want to share the hope of Jesus with you today. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1982, Argentina launched an invasion of the Falkland Islands, which had been a British colony since 1892 and under British possession since 1833. Argentine amphibious forces quickly overwhelmed the small garrison of British Marines stationed in the town of Stanley on East Falkland. The following day, Argentine forces also seized control of the dependent territories of South Georgia and the South Sandwich Islands. Meanwhile, the approximately 1,800 Falkland Islanders, predominantly English-speaking sheep farmers, awaited a response from the British authorities.
You know, the invasion of the Falkland Islands in 1982 serves us as a reminder that challenges can arise unexpectedly, testing our resilience and faith. Yet, just as the Falkland Islanders awaited a response from their authorities, we too can trust in God's faithfulness and provision. In Psalms chapter 46, verses 1 to 3, we read that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give away, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains shake with their surging. Further, in verse 10, God reminds us to be still and know that He is God. So as you face trials and tribulations, hold fast to your faith and remember that God is in control. You know, pray for wisdom, courage, and peace, trusting that God will guide you through every storm.
Amen. Friends, one death changed the entire course of history. Whose death and how? Find out now on today's episode of The Incredible Journey.
Throughout history, there has been one thing that is common to everyone who has ever lived: death. Some deaths have been more spectacular than others, some more notable, and some more mysterious. Some changed the course of history and made a difference in the world, while most pass relatively unnoticed. Some stand out, either due to the life of the person or because of the way they died, or something to do with their funeral. For example, Alexander the Great had the most expensive funeral in history away back in 323 BC. He established the powerful Greek Empire that ruled much of the world. According to the ancient historian Diodorus, when Alexander died at the age of 33, he was placed in a solid gold sarcophagus, which was then placed in a solid gold casket, which was carried by a solid gold carriage pulled by 64 mules. It's estimated that the cost of Alexander's funeral exceeded $500 million. Princess Diana's funeral was watched by more people than any other person in history up until that time. After she died in a car accident in Paris in 1997 at the age of 36, her funeral was massive, with people lining the streets of London to mourn. An estimated 2.5 billion people around the world tuned in to watch the live television broadcast of her funeral. James Doohan had his ashes blasted into space. He was an actor in the television and film series Star Trek and had a lasting wish to travel in space. After he died, a small urn containing some of his ashes was flown into space aboard a rocket. Genghis Khan had the most violent funeral of all time. The Mongolian warlord, who brutally conquered much of Asia throughout his life, was almost as deadly in death. He wanted to be buried in an unknown and unmarked grave to prevent his enemies from desecrating his remains. So everyone who attended the funeral and everyone along the way, as well as all the soldiers in the funeral procession, were killed so that everyone who could have known where Khan was buried were now also dead. Jim Henson had a send-off from the Muppets. He was an artist who worked on Sesame Street, who created the Muppets. At his memorial service, the Muppets themselves made an appearance to ensure his funeral was a joyous affair, just as Henson wanted. Sian Anadurai had the most attended funeral ever. When the much-loved Indian politician died in 1969, 15 million people gathered for his funeral. It was one of the largest gatherings in history and the most attended funeral ever. These epic funerals remind us that no matter how remarkable, powerful, talented or popular a person may be, they will eventually pass away as well. They remind us that death comes to us all. However, the death and funeral that has impacted history and humanity more than any other was anything but epic in the popular sense of the word. There was no pomp or ceremony. There were no large crowds. In fact, it was a rather ordinary affair, attended by just a small group of close friends and secret admirers. But this death changed the world forever. It changed everything. It literally split history into BC and AD. Every time you write a date, every time you celebrate your birthday, you're using the death of Jesus Christ as the focal point. And what makes the death of Jesus Christ so important is that it didn't last long. Just 3 days later, he was alive again. God raised him from the dead. The grave couldn't hold Jesus. His tomb is empty. Many believe that this rock-hewn garden tomb just outside the walls of Old Jerusalem is the authentic site where Christ's body was laid after his crucifixion. Whether it is or not, we may never know for sure. And you know, it doesn't really matter. What's important is that it reminds us that Christ's tomb is empty. He is risen. Can you imagine witnessing his death and then seeing Jesus walking around Jerusalem 3 days later? What an amazing thing. It was amazing back then, and it's still amazing today. And here's why. The story of the resurrection isn't just Jesus' story. It's our story as well. You see, you are a part of the resurrection. Jesus' death and resurrection didn't just prove there is life after death. The resurrection proves you can have life after death and that there's life beyond the grave. Jesus says, if you believe in him and trust him, then death isn't the end. God made you to live forever. That's why you often have a feeling that there's more to life than just this. Jesus made an amazing promise in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Now that's quite a promise. Jesus proved he could do it by resurrecting himself. He did it back then, and he can do it again for you. The Bible says, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. The great epic funerals of history remind us that death comes to us all. But the death of Jesus reminds us that in him, life triumphs over death. As we remember and celebrate the resurrection this year, that's a truth to focus on and hang our lives on. If you trust Jesus, you will triumph over death and live forever too. And that's something worth celebrating.
Prayer is how we talk with God, and this morning the Let's Pray team is with us for prayer. Joshua 1:9 reminds us that God is with us, as it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let's join the Let's Pray team now as we pray about God's presence being with us throughout the day.
Hello, hello, family. My name is Season. I am part of the Let's Pray team here at Hope Channel, and I'd like to talk to you and actually pray with you today about feeling God's presence with us throughout our day. Do you know, sometimes we can start off strong in the morning. We've spent our time with Jesus. We're there. We're in the pocket with him, right? And then life takes over and we feel a little disconnected. I want to encourage you to stop for just a brief moment and say, Father, I want to abide in you. It says in Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand." It is the Lord God who goes before you. He'll be with you. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Isn't that such an encouragement, family? Listen, let's pray and we'll see if we feel a little more connected to our Jesus after we've taken a second to talk to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the truth of your word and that you will not leave us or forsake us. We don't have to be afraid or dismayed because you go with us wherever we go. And I am grateful, Father. Oftentimes, Jesus, we try to measure our connection with you through emotions and feeling you, when your word actually tells us that you'll never leave us. So Jesus, while feeling close to you is a wonderful thing, Jesus, I want to encourage this community to know that by the word of God, fact, you're there every time. That when the enemy tries to whisper to us that we're so far from you, or that he doesn't care about our pain because we feel like there's a silence, that in those moments, Father, you are so close to us, that we're breathing the same air in a way. Jesus, I pray that this community and my own heart, Father, that we would choose to stand on what the truth of your word says, that you are indeed close with us, that you go with us everywhere we go. And your word also says that we are indwelt. We're literally carrying precious cargo, the Holy Spirit with us. We are indwelt with your Spirit. How much closer could you possibly be? So, Father, I pray that this community, that I would remember, Father, throughout the day, that whenever I'm feeling disconnected from you, I can stop and I can say, Lord, I just want to take a minute to turn my heart towards you, to abide in you, according to John 15, to just pivot my mental attitude and my whole person to you, Father. It can be just a quick reconnecting, Jesus, and I thank you that you're faithful for that. It can be while I'm driving, Lord. I thank you for that. However, this community as individuals needs to stop and pivot towards you, Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray that we would remember to do it, that your Holy Spirit would remind us, and then we would do so. Lord, I thank you that you desire truth from the innermost parts, and sometimes we don't feel like it. I just want to be honest, Lord. Sometimes we don't feel like it because our flesh gets in the way, our attitude gets in the way. Father, I pray that we would sidestep those things that try to keep us disconnected. And Father, that we would choose anyway to trust what your word says, that you're always there. And Father, to sidestep our emotions at times when they try to tell us something that's not true, like you've left us or you don't care. And I pray that we would stand on the truth of your word, Lord, knowing that you love us and that you are here with us and that you go with us everywhere we go. Thank you, Father. Help us to continue to abide in your peace and your presence and your rest throughout our day. And Lord, I ask that you would cover whatever immediate needs have come up inside this community. Wherever this prayer goes, Father, and whatever time of day they see it, I know that your anointing and your blessing is with them, Heavenly Father, and I thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Don't fear or be dismayed. That's my hope for you today, and I pray that you would take this time with you into the rest of your day today. God bless you.
Well, we have to take a short break, but when we return, Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will be with us to share today's devotional thought.
And if you're enjoying our program, share us with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup for more great content.
And look for us on YouTube, subscribe to our channel, and keep up with us there. Wake Up with Hope. We'll be right back. Welcome back, friends.
It's now time for our devotional thought. Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 is here with us today.
Hello, everyone. Elizabeth Talbot here from the Jesus 101 Biblical Institute. Today, I want to start by showing you a photo that is one of my favorite photos with my dad. I am so proud here to be with him. I always felt so special in his arms. And the truth is, he would tell me often that he was proud of me all the way till I was an adult. I was a true daddy's girl. And it's very special to know that there is a kinship and that your father is proud of you. Today, I want to analyze with you a story from the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke tells us that Jesus would notice everyone. It would make everyone feel special. And today we're going to talk about a story of a woman who was marginalized by society, and yet Jesus called her something very special. So come with me. Today we are studying the topic, You Are Noticed. You Are Noticed. So let's go to Luke chapter 8, and we're going to start with the story of a man and then a woman. See, the Gospel of Luke does something very interesting. It intercalates stories of men and women. Men were important in society, but women were not that important. And the Gospel of Luke shows that for Jesus, everyone was important and everyone was noticed and special to him, right? So let's go to Luke chapter 8. We start with the first story, verse 41. There came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore him to come to his house. This is interesting because we are given the name of this person and the status. He's an officer of the synagogue, and most synagogues only had one officer. So he's a very special person, and everybody knows him. But he's falling at Jesus' feet, which was not a regular place where you would find a person that was esteemed in society, right? And so we are told in verse 42 why he was there. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. You know, it doesn't matter how important you are. If you have a child and if you have your girl that is in trouble and she's dying, you will do whatever you need to do to get help, right? So we're expecting Jesus to go with him because he's an important man and we want Jesus to help him. And his daughter that is 12 years old, she's dying and she's an only daughter. It makes me feel like I used to feel with my dad because I'm an only daughter. I'm an only child, actually. And this man is so desperate for his little girl that he goes to Jesus. Jesus starts going with him, but right there is another story that starts. And this is a woman. And the woman is not, we don't know her name. We just know her sickness. And this is what it says. The next verse, verse 43, as Jesus is going to Jairus' house to heal his daughter, verse 43, a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. It's interesting because we get this other story, like an interruption. And she's a woman, and we don't know her name. We know just that she was bleeding for 12 years. And have you noticed how interesting that she was sick as long as Jairus' daughter has been alive? Jairus' girl was 12 years old. This woman has had a hemorrhage of blood for 12 years. She has been sick as long as Jairus' daughter has been alive. And you know, she does something that she was not supposed to do. She touches the fringe of Jesus' cloak. And it's interesting, if you read Leviticus 15, verses 19 to 31, you'll see the rules for women who were bleeding. They couldn't touch anybody or be touched by anybody. And this woman breaks the rule. And of course, she's desperate because she's also dying. And she's nobody's little girl. There's no man that stands for her. You know, in that society, usually men spoke for the women, either husband or father or brother or son. No man is coming to speak for her. And she is so desperate that she does the unthinkable. She touches the cloak of Jesus. And we are told in verse 44, she immediately, her hemorrhage immediately stopped. So this is the miracle of healing, but she's going to get so much more than this. Jesus wants to do more for her than simply heal her of her disease. So on verse 45, Jesus stops everybody. The whole crowd that is going to Jairus' house, Jesus stopped them. Verse 45, and Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" How come Jesus does this? Why does Jesus call attention to this poor woman who is trying to be unnoticed? And Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you." Jesus said, "No, someone did touch me, for I was aware the power had gone out of me." And this woman comes and falls also at his feet. But she's trembling because she did something she was not supposed to. Verse 47, when the woman saw that she had not escaped notice. Oh, I love that sentence. She had a doctorate in escaping notice. You know what I mean? And she saw that she had not escaped notice. She came trembling and fell down before him and declared in front of everybody why she had touched him. And then Jesus said something that changes the whole story. He said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." He called her daughter. Daughter, she didn't have a daddy that came to speak for her, but Jesus said, "You are my daughter. I am your daddy." He invites her to his kinship, so much more than simply a healing. This poor woman who had all kinds of labels that she had been wearing, she was the sick one. Everybody knew that. But on top of that, she was the rejected one because nobody wanted to be seen with her, right? But on top of that, she was destitute because she had spent all her money with doctors. You know, maybe you're wearing a bunch of labels too. But today Jesus tells you, you are noticed. You're valued. You are my daughter. You are my son. And he calls her daughter and says, from now on, you can go in peace because your faith not only has healed you, has made you well. And the verb in Greek is made you whole, saved you. At that moment, there is a messenger from the other house and says, "Your daughter has died," because now we have a tale of two daughters. And Jesus said, "Just believe, she will be okay too. She also will be made well, made whole." I want to leave this with you. Jesus notices you. You are special to him. He not only heals you, but saves you, makes you whole, and tells you, you are noticed. You're not just one more person in the crowd, no matter how marginalized you may have been. Today, Jesus wants to tell you, you are my child. There's a beautiful verse in 1 John 3:1 that says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called children of God. And yes, that is what we are. That is what you are. You are God's child. And he says to you the same thing he said to this woman. Go in peace. Go in peace. Daddy is here. You have a new kinship. No matter who has rejected you, who has made you hide or has made you a wallflower, you are noticed by God. He values you, loves you. And overall today, remember this, you are noticed. You are noticed. And from now on, this is your identity. You are a daughter. You are a son of God. So go in peace.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
And friends, thank you for spending time with us this morning. And if you'd like to learn more about our program or share hope with a friend, even watch some part of today's program again, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget, tomorrow morning we'll be right here waiting for you. We will have beautiful music from Laura Morena. Pastor John Bradshaw will have the devotional thought for us, and Neil Schofield will take us on another journey through a dog's life, plus more. Be sure to join us then.
And remember to visit us at hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
That's right, friends. Again, don't forget, that's hope.study. Check it out.
Well, our program is almost over for today, but before we go, we want to leave you with the Bible promise. And today's promise is found in Nahum chapter 1, verse 7.
It says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him."
Do you trust him, friend? He knows you. He is your stronghold in the day of trouble. So friends, trust in him today. Surely the Lord is good.
Amen. We've had a lovely time with you today, friends. May you be blessed as you move forward today.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, today is a day of surprises like every day is. We don't know the end from the beginning, but you do. You know what is coming, and nothing catches you off guard. That's why, Lord, today, right now, we choose to put our faith and our trust in you alone. Take care of our life. Take care of our hearts. And keep us faithful as we keep our eyes on you. In Jesus' name, amen.